gather in your presence today with open hearts and minds, ready to worship and praise your holy name. We ask that you bless this time of worship so that we may be uplifted and inspired by your presence. Fill us with your love and grace, and help us to honor you in all that we do. Please stand. Plenteous in mercy. There is always forgiveness with you. Restore us to the joy of your salvation. Bind us up that which is broken. Give light to the minds, strength to our wills, and rest to our souls. Speak to each of us, and let your word abide with us until it has brought us in your holy will. Good morning to you all. Some notices. Marge has asked me to mention out on the desk, there on the left, on the table on the left, there is a heap of these little notices which promote the Easter market, which is going to be on the 23rd, Saturday the 23rd. If you would like, please, if you've got some spare time, I know it's going to be hot for the next week, but it's cooling down next weekend. Please pick up some, just take them to your neighbours, put them in their boxes. Don't put them in their boxes where it says no junk mail, it's actually illegal. Please distribute them according to that note. That's on the 23rd. And do we still need people to write their names down on the list? Or are we okay? Also, out there where on the cabinet on the right hand side, there's a folder. My name is a list of the stalls that we want to run on the day. If you can help out in any of those stalls, or even if you can in any of those stores, please write your name on there, and if you need more information, please speak to Marge and she will be able to assist you. Also, next Sunday after church, there will be an annual general meeting, and Leon is going to tell you more about that.
Thank you. Good morning. Now, next Sunday is our annual general meeting. In the foyer, you'll find a bundle of those. These are the annual reports for 2023. So please take one and read it. Now, the AGM will be held on Sunday the 17th of March. There will be a short break after the service, during which you'll be able to get your cuppa, morning teas, and bring it back to the church ready for the meeting. But you are welcome to stay for a chat when the meeting ends. There will be, now this is different, there will be a cafe-style church that morning with tables around, with chairs behind the tables rather than around. So if you can sit behind the tables, that will be wonderful.
Not on them.
No, you can probably do that. At the AGM, we will be seeking a chairperson for the congregational meetings. Now, I have been acting chair of church council. I've stood down from that, and I'm still standing as chair of church council. But I'm standing down from that at this meeting. So would you like to give consideration, prayerful consideration, to taking up that position? Could you speak to an elder of the church council, or an elder or a church council rep, if you feel you are able to do that, and preferably before the meeting? We are currently seeking a supply minister at the Vines for when the Reverend Trevor Clark finishes at the end of this month. And if anyone has any contact with potential supply ministers, please let us know through Marge or the Church Council. So we welcome your support. So thank you.
I'm actually getting the children to talk now. Let the children just stay where they are. So, I don't know about you, but when I see a heart, not that kind of heart, yes, that one, the first thing I think of is love. We think and talk about love a lot, don't we? We often say things such as, I love ice cream, or I love to play baseball, or football, or basketball, or cricket. We also say to our parents or special friends, I love you. A group of professionals asked some children aged 4 to 8, what does love mean? Here are some of the answers the children gave. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. That was when Harry, aged 5. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your french fries without making them give you any rules. That was from Chrissy, aged 6. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt, then he wears it every day. That was from Noelle, aged 7. Love is when mummy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. That was from Elaine, aged 5. Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you've left him alone all day. That was from Mary Ann, aged 4. This one doesn't really apply in my family, because my wife doesn't drink coffee, but love is when mummy makes coffee for daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure it tastes okay. That was from Daddy, aged 7. Now, if I were to ask you to tell me what love is, what would your answer be? Anyone got any ideas? Kids? What's love?
Family.
Family. Anybody else? I think if we really want to know what love is, the best place to find the answer is in the Bible. God not only told us what love is, he showed us. The Bible says God showed how much he loved us by sending Jesus to die for us, even though we were sinful. Wow, that's real love. God loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for us, even though we didn't. You know that is the best the children gave to the question, what is love? Here's one more. God could have said magic words to make the nails fall off the cross, but he didn't. That's love. I think that really says it all, don't you? Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for loving us, even when we did not deserve it. Help us to love others in the same way. Amen.
This morning's reading is from John, chapter 17, verses 6 to 18. You have given me some followers from this world, and I have shown them what you are like. They were yours, but you gave them to me, and they have obeyed you. They know that you gave me everything I have. I told my followers what you told me, and they accepted it. They know I came from you, and they believe you are the one who sent me. I am praying for them, but not for those who belong to this world. My followers belong to you, and I am praying for them. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and they will bring glory to me. Holy Father, I am no longer in the world. I am coming to you, but my followers are still in the world. So keep them safe by the power of the name you have given me. Then they will be one with each other, just as you and I are one. While I was with them, I kept them safe by the power you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one who had to be lost. This happened so that what the scriptures say would come true. I am on my way to you, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so my followers will have the same complete joy that I do. I have told them your message, but the people of this world hate them because they don't belong to this world, just as I don't. Father, I don't ask you to take my followers out of the world, but keep them safe from the evil one. They don't belong to this world, and neither do I. Your word is the truth, so let this truth make them completely yours. I am sending them into the world just as you sent me. This is the word of the Lord.
This is the time that we pray for others. You know, the Apostle Paul, in his letters to the various letters he wrote to the churches of the then known world, was always including a prayer for them, even though on many occasions he was imprisoned, but his heart was always full of joy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this day, even though it's hot. Let's pray for our country, Australia, and its leaders. Give them wisdom. Let us pray for those countries at war or are in major crisis, such as the Ukraine, Africa, the Middle East, Russia, Israel, Palestine. We pray for freedom and the freedom of the hostages that are imprisoned. We pray for peace. Father, hear our prayer. Let us pray for our minister David Breyer and his family and for his continued rehabilitation. Father, we thank you. Let us pray for those who may be sick, suffering illnesses, bereavement, unemployment, depression, domestic violence, mental instability. Father, we pray for their healing and for their comfort. Father, we give thanks for Trevor Clare and his wife Sue as they prepare for travel overseas. We pray for their safety. Let us pray for the leaders of this country, Australia, and South Australia. Give them wisdom. Let us pray also for schools, for teachers, chaplains, as they minister to parents, children, and teachers. Let us pray for our church, the Vines, and the upcoming events, our annual general meeting, our Easter market, Friday Friends, Easter services, and services starting at Cottage Grove after a long break. Father, we pray for your blessing of all of those involved. Let us just take this time and pray in silence for those in our hearts and the things we may have overlooked. Let us pray for those areas in Australia, experiencing bushfires, floods, and other devastations. We think of the firefighters, emergency workers, doctors, nurses, and other frontline workers. Father, we pray for their safety and the restoration. Let us join together and pray as Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
This month it's Good Friday, so I take it it won't be on this month.
This month.
April.
Will be April, and it'll be just after
Anzac. That's good. Yeah. So for those of you watching online, obviously Friday Friends this year, this week, this month will not take place because it's Good Friday. We have a church service on in here, so the Friday Friends will be on in April. But something 28th or something, 29th?
Yes.
We're now going to sing one of the greatest hymns ever written, I believe, it's my favourite. And it's time for our offering. The hymn is How Great Thou Art. Please stand as we sing.
Thank you.
whose giving knows no ending. We know how to say thank you when we receive. Right now, we say thank you as we give. In our giving, hear our heartfelt gratitude for all that you are and all that we have. Bless these gifts for your mission in the world, and bless the other gifts we have to bring to your mission, opening our eyes to how you are, calling us to participate in Jesus' name. Generous God, make us generous in your image. Make us compassionate in your image. Make us faithful in your image. Bless these gifts and all the gifts we offer, that your kingdom may come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Sorry, I'm a bit... These things are all well and good until you knock them as you're getting up. And then they're a nuisance. I have to go back and get this to bring up the Bible reading again. It's nice to be known, isn't it? Many years ago, we were moving to Kangaroo Island to be the minister. And, you know, you get there, and we had a 15-month-old and a nearly 4-year-old. And, of course, after a couple of days of unpacking with little kids around our ankles, we were more than a little fed up. So we decided that we would do something a bit different, that we would get a takeaway and we'd get a video. Now, one of the things that not many people know about Kangaroo Island is the video shop over there used to go broke regularly. So the only place that they had videos was at the school shop. You know, they followed country town naming rights. It was next to the school, so it was the school shop. Okay. So we went there and we ordered our chicken and chips or whatever it was. And we wandered around looking for a video. This is pre-DVD days. So we wander around and we find one. And we take it back and the guy says, that'll be whatever it was. We go, oh, okay, fine. And then kind of went, don't you want any details of who we are? Because we're hiring a video? And he goes, oh, no, if you can't trust the man who married you, who can you trust? I'd married him 18 months before at Largs Bay. He was out of context and we'd been meeting so many people. But, you know, that sort of thing can happen all the time. Sue's wearing a lovely dress this morning. It was bought at the Yumundi Markets. She didn't know I was going to tell this story, so it's completely a fluke. Okay? But Sue was at the Yumundi Markets, this is when we were up at Noosa last year, and she was looking at dresses. Now, I have to confess that I do try to be a loving husband, but when it comes to dress shopping, I'm not really a taker. Anyway, fortunately, places like the Yumundi Markets understand this sort of stuff. So they always have a busker. So I went over to the busker and I tried to find a place in the shade because it was hot and it was in, and you know, it was not too obvious. And I got there and I found a place. A little while later, this lovely family across three generations came. There was grandma and grandpa. There was the mother. And there were two or three children. I can't remember if it was two or three. One was in a pram, that I remember. And there was another running around, but was it two? Who knows? Anyway, we got to chatting. My girls used to call me Mr. Have a Chat. So I'll chat to anyone, as some of you have seen at things like Friday Friends or other places. And there we are, so I get chatting, and I go, oh, you know, what are you doing here? You know, and they said, oh, we're up here on holidays with our daughter who lives here. And I go, this is the grandparent. I go, oh, yeah, we're up on holidays too. And they said, oh, yeah. I said, where are you from? And they said, oh, we live down at North Haven now. I went, oh, that's nice. Yeah, we live down at Aberfoyle Park. And I said, and we got talking a bit more, and he worked for some sort of automotive company. I can't remember exactly what he was doing. And, oh, yeah, that's nice. And I said, what do you do? And I said, oh, I'm retired, kind of. And they said, oh, yeah. What do you do? Oh, I'm a retired clergyman. Oh, yeah. They go, oh, yeah. Do you know Ian Gaskell? And I went, yes, I was at Port Lincoln with him in the early 80s. And they said, oh, we're from Lock. And then the woman thought for a moment, and she said, hang on a minute, you're not Trevor Clare, are you? And I went, yeah. And she said, you married us. So now it's the grandparents that I've married, apparently. But they knew me, and they sent a photo, and we all looked incredibly young. But I was known. Very powerful, that, to be known, isn't it? Even when people say, oh, I've heard stories about you. And I'm sure that some of you have had that said to you. But to be known is one of the very powerful things that in our humanity we seek. Jesus, in John 17, declares that we are known. If you read John 17, that's pretty small, thanks Ken, but they can try. I'll try and read them a bit. These are some of the first words. You have given me some followers from this world, and I have shown them what you are like. They were yours, but you gave them to me, and they have obeyed you. What do you hear in that? I have showed you to them. Jesus knew his disciples, and it goes on. Keep reading it, but it goes on and it talks about how he showed the Father to us. And then he goes on and talks about how he and the Father are one. There's a very strong unity that's expressed there. A very strong bond of being together. Jesus was actually doing something. He was dealing with those who belong to the Father. And I've got news for you. That's us. We belong to God. That's what Jesus says in this. When you read it, they were yours and you gave them to me. That's ownership and gifted. We were given to Jesus. But he talks at length. You go through particularly the first few verses, and you see that we have been shown the Father by Jesus. And we are known by Jesus. The intimacy expressed here is deep and powerful. And this is Jesus speaking, remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is saying that his disciples are known by him and beloved by him, and he has done the most important job, which is helping us to know the Father. There's quite a bit of stuff in there about the name, and various modern translations get away from the Greek. But effectively, it's I have shown them your name, or I have. And that's because, the name really mattered. The name expressed who God was. There are still some modern cultures where a baby is not named for 12 months. Why? Because they believe by then you can see who the person is and the name is appropriate. No. You all had names for your children before they were born, I imagine. I know we spent hours looking in books, you know, and discussing it, as most people do. But in the ancient world, names were about who the person is and understanding them and knowing them. And knowing who someone is changes things. How many of you, when you were young, used to wake up at night because you could hear a noise, like that paper falling behind me? No, but you could hear something at night and you would get all anxious about what it might be. Did any of you have that, you know? And eventually your mother or father would come in and say, "Don't be silly, that's just a possum running through the roof." Did you ever have that? Or, dare I say it, a rat running through the roof? Or it was just a branch knocking against the side of the house. Do you remember having that sort of experience? Oh, what a stable lot you are. A couple are admitting it, I'm pleased to hear it. Yeah, some of it was an earthquake, but you know, it's amazing that once you knew that it was a possum running through the roof or a branch of a tree knocking against the house, it was very different, wasn't it? Once you knew, the power of fear was gone. Because you could describe it, you knew what it was. And for us, with God, once we know, and we know the power and the love of God, then it's very different. We become sure of who we are in the love of God. Jesus wanted us to know. He wanted us to be intimate with Him, and through that, intimate with the Father. Now, how does that happen? Is a good question. I would argue that it happens by talking as we walk. Talking as we walk. You know, I've read the stuff that says go into your room in secret and pray. But the prayer that seems to matter more for me is when you're in the midst of something and you're kind of having a mental conversation with God at the same time. You know, that's the stuff that really gets you closer with God. Normally it's because you're dead scared of what's about to happen. Oh, God, help me. You know? But it's not always like that. Sometimes it's with awe and wonder as we see stuff around us. And sometimes it's just those quiet moments where we want to chat with God. But it's that living with God in the everyday is where intimacy grows. It's where the depth comes into that relationship. And it's that sort of intimacy that Jesus was showing his disciples how to do by sharing with them in the everyday. Even to the bickering about who gets to sit in the best places. Yeah? But also as they're walking along, and we hear shades of the fact that chatting as they walked along was normal, because there are things that come out of their conversations. And it's clear that for them to be having conversation was normal. And so out of their conversation, they were learning more and more and growing more intimate with Jesus. And so it is that we saw the Father. Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." But also, if we look at John 17, then we find more evidence of that as well. "So keep them by the power of the name you have given me. Then they will be one with each other, just as you and I are one. Okay? Jesus is using his relationship with his Father as an exemplar, and he is calling on God that our intimacy should therefore be with God the Father. Do you understand that that's very powerful? And he says, I am on my way to you, but I say these things that while I am still in the world, so my followers will have the same joy that I do. Jesus wants us to have the same joy that he has. In some translations, it's called the full measure of joy. I don't know what it is in that one. I think it's just the same joy. But in others, it's the full measure of joy. Complete joy. There you go. That's Jesus' desire for us. That intimacy will bring complete joy with the Father. That's the sort of intimacy that Jesus is building. And he's building it with us. That we should know him deeply. We should know the Father deeply. As we know Jesus, we come to know the Father. As we experience the love of Jesus, we come to experience the love of the Father. What was that great quote that Adrian said about God wouldn't magically pull the nails out of the tree or something like that? And that's it. Jesus, even though he was close and intimate with the Father, was prepared to die. And he wanted us to have that same unity of relationship with the Father. Then comes the difficult bits of this reading. If you don't like the difficult bits, put your hands over your ears. Because I want to read something to you here. Just got to find it. Here we are. Father, I don't ask you to take my followers out of the world, but keep them safe from the evil world. From the evil one, sorry. Jesus doesn't ask, and he says it a couple of times, Jesus doesn't ask for us to be taken out of the world. He wants us to be kept safe from the evil one, but he doesn't want us taken out of the world. Why? Well, I believe that the answer is in the call. When these disciples were called, what was it that he said to James and John? Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We have been given a task and a calling. And in it, we are called to be Jesus in the world. We are called to have the intimate love with Jesus, to share that with other people, and just like Jesus' intimate love with us showed us the Father, so our intimate love with Jesus is called to show others the love of Jesus. That is our calling in the world, to be those who are the bearers of love and intimacy as we have experienced from Jesus. We are called to show what we have already received. So you don't have to be clever. You don't have to know all sorts of stuff. You just have to share the stuff that you know. To share the intimacy of your relationship with Jesus. And to say, this really matters to me. This is really important. So Jesus wants you to know his love. and that in knowing that love, he wants you to share that love with other people. I've said it to you before and I'll say it again. You do not need to know the four spiritual laws. You do not need to be able to quote Karl Barth, because if you were to quote one sentence, it goes over a page and a bit. You know, you don't need to be able to quote all the clever things. Apart from anything else, people don't care. You know, if you're showing off how clever you are by quoting, they're not really very interested. But if you tell the story of how your love with Jesus works for you, that is incredibly powerful. And that is what we are called to do. Because Jesus loves us so much, he says, just share that love. Just share how it works for you. And we're all different, thank God. How it works for me is different how it works for you. So I can't answer for you because I'll get it wrong. And you can't answer for me because you'll get it wrong. But if you answer for you, you can't get it wrong. So knowing Jesus intimately is the power by which we share the intimate and all-encompassing love of God. You know the deep and powerful love of Jesus. It's what releases us, makes us fly. It's not Red Bull that makes you fly. It's the love of Jesus. But as we experience that love, and as it sets us free to be ourselves, so we're called to share that, so that others might know the great love of God and how good and gracious is our King. Our final song expresses that powerful goodness and graciousness that comes from God. Good and gracious King.
Just before we do sing, if something in the service has spoken to you or put something on your heart that you really need to speak to God about, please come to the front. The prayer ministry will be on after the service. So there'll be somebody around to pray with you. Or alternatively, just turn to the person next to you and pray with them. The two best ways to get intimate with Jesus is through prayer and reading Scripture. Let's stand and sing Good and Gracious King. Thank you.
Jesus expressed a desire in that reading we had earlier, in which he said that your joy may be complete like mine. Isn't that an interesting thing? As you go this week through the world, may you experience some of that complete joy. May you experience the presence of God in ways that are renewing through Jesus. And may you experience God equipping and enabling you through the Holy Spirit. As you go this week, may your relationship be renewed and your lives be enriched because of it. Amen.
Please join us in this chorus.
Then sings my soul. Sings my soul, my Savior.